Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Richard Carvajal, the Director of Experimental Therapeutics and Director of the Melanoma Service at Columbia University Medical Center, about the latest treatment strategies for mucosal melanoma. Right now, in mucosal melanoma, can you start by explaining the prognosis for patients with mucosal melanoma?
Yeah, so mucosal melanoma, it's a particularly tough and challenging form of melanoma, in large part due to the rarity of this disease. It's, you know, the presentations are very insidious. The symptoms the patients develop can be very nonspecific, frequently leading to late diagnoses. And so that, combined with what appears to be just a more aggressive biology of mucosal melanoma when compared to other melanoma, more common melanoma subtypes like cutaneous melanoma, the outcome for patients with mucosal is just poor. If you look at the 5-year overall survival for patients from time of diagnosis of mucosal melanoma, irrespective of stage, it's about 25% at 5 years. And compare that to what has been achieved in cutaneous melanoma, where median survival for patients with metastatic disease is in the order of 6 to 7 years. It just highlights how dramatically worse the outcomes are for this patient population. You know, another factor I think leading to the worse outcomes is the fact that we just don't have effective therapies for this disease. The advances that have been made in melanoma have been really primarily for cutaneous disease. And of course, that progress has been remarkable and dramatic. Since 2011, we had ipilimumab and vemurafenib, and since that time, another dozen or so therapies and regimens for cutaneous disease. And that's led to the significant improvements in clinical outcomes. Whereas for mucosal melanoma, which we know is clinically and biologically distinct, we don't have specific therapies for that disease. And so certainly when patients present with high-risk primary disease, we're not entirely sure what to do in the adjuvant setting, right? Very little data to help guide us. And when patients have metastatic disease, we'll extrapolate from what we know from cutaneous melanoma. We'll do checkpoint blockade, either single agent PD-1 or combination. If there's an actionable alteration, we'll do that. But even when you look at the mucosal melanoma patients treated with checkpoint blockade, they do worse than the patients with cutaneous melanoma.
Thank you, Dr. Carvajal. There's certainly a need for better therapies to treat mucosal melanoma, as you alluded to. Can you discuss the latest advances in the mucosal melanoma treatment landscape?
Yeah, thankfully, I think there's been increasing interest and an increasing focus on this subset of disease, not just from the biology, understanding what makes it different, and we've learned some things. For instance, we know the mutational burden of mucosal melanoma is just lower than what it is for cutaneous melanoma, whereas the number of structural variants we'll find in this disease is higher. And so we're learning a little bit more about the biology. And that I think has prompted an increasing interest in trying to develop specific therapeutics for this disease. When you look at the prevalence of mucosal melanoma, and that's the relative prevalence, it's much higher in Asia. And I bring that up because a number of the trials that have been done so far trying to advance this mucosal melanoma field have been done in China. Just to speak a little bit more to that prevalence issue, when you look at all the melanomas in China, a quarter of them are cutaneous melanoma, whereas 25% of them are actually mucosal melanoma, far higher than the 2% we see in the U.S. And so that's allowed them to do more focused research in this field. And so there have been some important trials out of China. They have done several adjuvant clinical trials looking at chemotherapy versus interferon. They've done some neoadjuvant therapies. They've looked at various combinations, combining anti-angiogenic type therapies with checkpoint blockade, all of which is meaningfully advancing the field. None of them have really led to new approvals, though. Because of the really dramatic data that was demonstrated in the SWOG-1801 trial, where neoadjuvant PD-1 in a palpable stage 3 cutaneous melanoma leads to improved outcomes when compared to just adjuvant PD-1. Certainly that question is being looked at. There are ongoing China trials in Asia. One completed small trial, the MD Anderson group actually did a nice retrospective series of neoadjuvant checkpoint blockade showing clinical and pathologic response rate that seems to correlate with outcomes. So those questions, I think, are continue to be evaluated in clinical trials. In the metastatic setting, a drug called nemvaleukin, which is an engineered IL-2 molecule, has a breakthrough designation by the FDA for mucosal melanoma based on some very interesting data clinical responses that were seen in patients with mucosal melanoma. And so now the ARTISTRY-6 trial is specifically looking at patients with mucosal melanoma, evaluating clinical efficacy. And so certainly, that trial is accruing well, and we hope to have, answer in terms of the efficacy and hopefully the not too distant future.
We'll be right back after this message.
This is Dr. John Burke, Editor-in-Chief of Targeted Therapies in Oncology. Check out our next issue for expert insight on oncology care and the latest clinical updates.
We're back with Dr. Richard Carvajal of Columbia University Medical Center. What are you seeing in mucosal melanoma research that's really exciting?
Well, I think the fact that we do have dedicated trials now for mucosal melanoma is a major leap forward. Just getting oncologists to think about putting these patients on trials and having access to them, it's almost like creating a platform for the future trials, right? We have to create that awareness, create that community amongst the investigators, amongst the patients and the family members, that they know that they should be seeking out these disease-specific trials. So that in and of itself, I think, is a major advance. The Alliance has an ongoing clinical trial. So a U.S. NCI cooperative group has a mucosal melanoma trial. There is an adjuvant ipi-nivo trial ongoing. There are other trials in development looking at some of these promising therapies that honestly have been tested in China to see if we can replicate some of those ideas, the combination of anti-angiogenic therapies plus anti-PD-1 based therapies. So those trials are in development and should be starting shortly. And so hopefully some of the questions about, are those data from China translatable to a Western population? Hopefully we'll be able to answer some of those.
Looking forward, given everything that you know about treatment strategies and where the field is going, what advice do you have for other oncologists on how to approach treatment of this disease?
I would say one, from the time of diagnosis, as with any other cancer, the management has to be multidisciplinary in nature. And what makes mucosal melanoma particularly challenging is one, it's very rare, 1,500 cases a year, 2,000 cases a year maybe in the US. But then the management team is very different if you have a sinonasal mucosal melanoma versus a vulvovaginal mucosal melanoma. And there are very few centers that have that team of surgeons, radiation doctors, oncologists, pathologists, the entire team who really knows this disease. So I would seek out certainly centers with some degree of experience in this disease. There are a number of advocacy groups now that are working to build the mucosal melanoma community. So not just the clinicians, but also the patients and family members and caregivers. And I think that resource is invaluable. This is a disease where, frequently the patients have this diagnosis, they never knew that this cancer existed. And it's a very lonely feeling for them. So I think giving them the opportunity to touch base with others who've gone through this process can be very, very helpful for them. You know, one thing that people sometimes ask is if we are to treat patients with metastatic disease outside of clinical trial, what are we going to do? You know, what's the best treatment? And the answer is, we're not sure. And there have been several subgroup analyses out of the BMS trial experience comparing patients with mucosal melanoma treated with ipi/nivo versus nivolumab alone, so combination checkpoint blockade versus single agent PD-1. And in that the BMS experience, in those subset analysis, it was pretty clear that ipi/nivo was superior, where the tails of the curves for both PFS and overall survival were just better than single agent anti-PD-1. And then subsequently, the real world data sets, international, which showed that the curves of ipi/nivo versus single agent PD-1 completely overlapped. And so, if we're going to do checkpoint blockade, if you had asked me 2 years ago, what would you use? My answer would have been combination ipi/nivo. Whereas now I don't know that that's true. And so outside of the clinical trial, I think the answer is checkpoint blockade. Whether you do single agent PD-1 or combination, unclear. I think with the approval of things like relatlimab, with the Iovance program moving along, I think it'll be very interesting to see how some of these newer treatments that are approved or will be approved for cutaneous melanoma, how we should apply those new treatments to mucosal.